One of the many questions that believers want to be answered is, how do I know that it is the will of God? How do I know that God is leading me to the career path I am taking? How do I know that this person is the right person that I would marry one day? How do I know which ministry I would be participating in? Well, there are many things that are out of our control. Of course, we know that. We don't know what to expect even. We don't know what to prepare, but we have to do something about it. For starters, if you know it is good, do it. If you know it's profitable for you, do it. If you know that you can do your best in it, do it. That's for starters. And then proceed from there. But if you would like to be more spiritual, I pray that you would pray first in everything you do, even little things. Even if you know the instruction, but pray about it that you would do it. Because there are many times that we can commit mistakes. Now, one of the better examples that I could provide how one know that they are deciding for one thing is the time when Abraham sent his chief servant, the manager of his household. He told his servant, go and take a wife for my son, Isaac. Abraham told his servant, wow, that would be something unexpected for this generation. You would tell your servant or the manager of your household, your mayor, domo, can you go back to the Philippines and bring somebody out there to be the wife of my son? And the servant surely was puzzled. How can I know? How do I know that the wife that I would take would be the right wife for Isaac? How do I know that he would like the woman that I would bring home? So the servant of Abraham prayed about that. And he testified after the servant prayed, testified about his personal experience when he chose the wife for Isaac. Let's read Genesis chapter 24, verse 42 and 46, when it says, when I came to the spring today, I said, Lord, God of my master Abraham, if you will, please grant success to the journey on which I have come. See, I am standing beside this spring. If a young woman comes out to draw water, and I say to her, please let me drink a little water from your jar. And if she says to me, drink, and I'll draw water for your camels too, let her be the one the Lord has chosen for my master's son. Before I finished praying in my heart, Rebekah came out with her jar on her shoulder. She went down to the spring and drew water, and I said to her, please give me a drink. She quickly lowered her jar from her shoulder and said, drink, and I'll water your camels too. So I drank, and she watered the camels also. Wow, that was exactly what happened. The prayer of the servant was answered exactly as he specified. But first he said, if it is your will, if it is your will, this is how I want to see that you answered my prayer. I asked for a drink, just for a drink. That is what I ask. And then if she offers that she will also water the camels, that would be the exact sign that I would like to see. And that was what happened. This is why many pastors, many preachers would encourage us to pray specifically. Not necessarily praying like something like, I would like to have a wife who is tall, dark, tall, dark, and never mind, something like that. Not necessarily like that. When I prayed for a wife, I prayed, Lord, I would like to give me a wife who is God-fearing woman. That's the only requirement I had. And indeed, the wife I got married, she became a Christian first before me. Well, that's never mind that long story. The Lord heard and answered the prayer from the heart of Abraham's servant. From the heart of Abraham's servant. She did not pray loud. She just kneeled beside the well where the water was. And there are many young girls who were coming because it is where they get their water, drinking water. But that particular moment when Rebecca said, drink and I will water your camels too, the servant knew exactly that she was the right woman who would offer a water. Now think about it. If the well is just, you can just scoop there and just give, that's easy, right? But if you think of the history of the well, they would go down maybe 10 feet down. This is 15 feet from floor to ceiling. 10 feet is the, not so deep, but deeper than that perhaps. They will go down carrying that jar, maybe 1 gallon, 2 gallons jar, and go up. And that woman would also water the camels. How many gallons can one camel drink? And there were more than 10 camels that were about to drink. How many times did Rebecca go down and up the well? And she offered that. That's something else. That's the heart of a woman who was willing to help a stranger, a person of different culture, maybe different outfit. I don't know, but I believe that it was God who moved the heart of Rebecca, or it has been also her personality to just be generous to everyone who's asked for help. Think about this. Jesus is the way of our life. Do you believe that? And this is more obvious that Jesus is the way when uncertainties comes our way. When we are certain, we just don't mind much. But when we are uncertain, that is when we can experience that it's Him who helped us. Jesus said in John 14:6, let's read together. Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Look at this. This is something that it has not been explored by many believers. When he said, I am the way to the Father, he did not say, I am the way only to the Father. Meaning, he is the way. It's open interpretation. Whatever, however, how much faith you have, he is the way. He is the way. This is why many people say, Jesus is the answer. And he is the truth. Whatever he says is truth. And he is life, eternal life. And if he can give us eternal life, think about this. Which is more precious, eternal life or this worldly life or earthly life or this practical life? Think about that. But only by faith, of course, that we can believe Christ, that he can give us life even in this practical world. So if we have the way to heaven in Jesus, we can easily find way in Jesus to solve problems, struggles, or any inconvenience we may encounter in this life. Of course, pray for discernment. Lord, give me discernment. Give me discernment. Plead if you would, because it takes discernment to understand and follow where the Lord leads us. Is this the way the Lord leading me? Many times in your experience, even older people, you wanted to become somebody someday. Like for me, for example, I wanted to become an artist. I loved drawing before. I want to be in fine arts, but accordingly, fine arts is only for very few people, talented ones, if you want to make money. So I wanted to be in architecture too, because in my engineering years, I drove for the architecture. That's how I was gifted in that area. But accordingly, architecture is not also making much money in the popular degree at that time in my generation is engineering. So I went to engineering, but God did not want me to be there. Did not want me. Same as you. Maybe you started like engineering, and then you want to go to doctor, medical doctor, and then you want to go to, pilot, and you want to go to lawyer, and then you end up being a cook, and you enjoy cooking. Because some people look at cooking before us, not so dignitary, because we want that also. Anyway, let's read again verse 1, 2, 3. When Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They answered, "No, we have not even heard that there is Holy Spirit." So Paul asked then, "What baptism did you receive?" "John's baptism," they replied. Now, think about this. Apostle Paul was a missionary. He was a church planter. He did not stay at one place. He went one place to another to establish a church. And at this time, he was visiting churches that he established in his first missionary journey. He was always on the move. He traveled from place to place as he visited the churches he established. He traveled by sea, he traveled by land, and there was no airplane at the time. He would have traveled even by air if airplane was discovered at the time. Until he returned to the city of Ephesus. In the city of Ephesus, he left Aquila and Priscilla when they come from Corinth. Now, think about this. Did the Holy Spirit give discernment to Apostle Paul for him to visit Ephesus again? How did Paul deem necessary to check the faith of some believer in Ephesus? How did he learn that some believers did not know about the Holy Spirit? How did Paul know that asking about baptism was a very significant, necessary question? Or was it random? Was he trained to ask those questions? The Bible did not specify about those things. Or did anyone tell Paul that some believers did not know much about Christ? Or did Aquila and Priscilla write and tell Paul that those believers who did not know the Holy Spirit were followers of Apollos? Let's recall Acts chapter 8 and verse 26. Apollos began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. Apollos was a very good speaker, but nowhere in the Bible you can read his message, his sermon, even a word from him. It was not recorded in the Bible. Is it possible that those who didn't know the Holy Spirit were Apollos' follower? Is it possible that Apollos was not able to teach them what Aquila and Priscilla taught him because he left Ephesus and went to Achaia, to Corinth specifically, and helped the church in Corinth? Well, we believe, as historians and scholars say, that the book of Acts was written by Dr. Luke. And when Dr. Luke mentioned that Apollos was in Corinth, when Paul visited Ephesus again, it appears like Dr. Luke implied the unfinished work of Apollos among the Ephesians. What do you think? Discernment for Paul to know that, what to say, what to ask. Well, did the Holy Spirit bring Apostle Paul to Ephesus to follow up on the work that Apollos had done in Ephesus? But how did Paul discern the need to follow up their spiritual life of the Ephesians? It was not mentioned, or did he observe it? Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, it says, "It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption." Look at that. Memorize this if you can, because it says, in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. What does that mean? When we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior by faith, we accepted wisdom from God. And that wisdom enables us to live holy life according to His will. Whatever we do, if it is pleasant to God, that is the will of God. When we allow Christ as our Lord and Savior of our lives, He provides us wisdom. Jesus Christ is wisdom. He is wisdom to us from God. So make sure that you have accepted Jesus Christ personally. If you cannot still sense His presence, keep on asking, "Lord, I want Your presence. I really want to practically experience Your presence in my life, Lord." Keep praying until you sense that peace. Peace that surpasses understanding. You may not understand, you may not be able to explain everything, but you know, you have that hope, you have that belief that Jesus Christ is in your life. Wisdom from God is available to all believers, available to you and to me. The Holy Spirit of Christ is very much willing to help us understand things beyond our human comprehension. So when we cannot understand, why is this happening to me? There are many whys in this world. Why is this? Why is that? Why is this happening? This pandemic, for example. If we seek to be filled and empowered by the Holy Spirit, we may not be able to explain, why are you so calm, Christians? People are worrying about the pandemic, and yet you are still here, gathered to worship the Lord, because of that peace that surpasses understanding that comes from God in your heart. God provides necessary things we need to live a righteous life acceptable to Him. That was what Maribel read a while back. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. You record that and you will read. Everything to live a righteous life has been given to us. All we need is to claim it. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. The Holy Spirit worked in our life. His work in our life is to set us apart from worldly lifestyle and to bring glory to God. That's our lifestyle. Additionally, when the Lord moves us to serve Him, services acceptable to God are possible only through the help of Jesus Christ. Whatever we do, may it be preparing this sanctuary for worship service or helping everyone, handing out mass or giving instruction, if we know that the Holy Spirit of Christ is in us, that friend is acceptable to Him. God prefers only, listen, God prefers or accepts only services of those whose heart are willing to obey His lead. If you are not led by the Holy Spirit, then we waste our goodness. We waste our kindness that we do. Now, let's find an example in Judges chapter 7, verse 2 to 8. Judges 7, verse 2 to 8. Let's read this example. The Lord said to Gideon, You have too many men. I cannot deliver Midian into your hands, or Israel would boast against me. My own strength has saved me. Now announce to the army, anyone who trembles with fear may turn back and leave Mount Gilead. So 22,000 men, while 10,000 remained. But the Lord said to Gideon, there are still too many men. Take them down to the water. I will thin them out for you there. If I say this one shall go with you, he shall go. If I say this one shall not go with you, he shall not go. So Gideon took the man down to the water. Then the Lord told him, separate those who lap the water with their tongues as a dog laps from those who kneel down to drink. 300 of them drank from cup hands, lapping like dogs. All the rest go down on their knees to drink. The Lord said to Gideon, with 300 men that lap, I will save you and give the Midianite into your hands. Let all others go home. So Gideon sent the rest of Israelites home, but kept the 300 who took over the provision and trumpets of the others. Now, God did not choose those who were in doubt, those who have doubts in their hearts, those who tremble, those who fear. God did not choose. Now, you were chosen because you have that courage to come even in this time of pandemic. May God bless you. Say amen to that. God bless you in many practical ways, I pray. God chose only 300 out of 32,000 men to go to battle with Gideon. It was with God's power, not by their effort, that the Israelites conquered their enemies, vast Midianites. If you read the story, there were not only 30,000 or less Midianites out there, more than perhaps about 100,000 and just 300 who would fight. Well, we kind like facing this pandemic like the Israelites. We have also problems that overwhelm us. They have become our enemies, our battleground. Do you agree that praying is also battleground for Christians? If you do, if praying is our battleground as church, God prefers to have few prayer warriors who are willing over thousands who have fears, who have doubts. And praying is practical exhibit of deference, obedience to the Lord. We also have our prayer meeting this Wednesday at 7 as usual. If you would come, it would be great to encourage one another. So coming to prayer meeting is our deference, our respectful submission to the Lordship of Christ and not submission to the influence of people. Let's read again verse 4 to 7. Paul said, John's baptism was baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed their hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. No. The work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the Ephesians believers was very obvious. They did not challenge when Apostle Paul told them the truth, did not argue with Apostle Paul when he told them about the baptism that they had. And in their obedience to the Lord, in their deference to the Lord, to Christ, they were willing to willingly underwent through water baptism in the name of Jesus. And speaking in tongues and prophesying, they were most apparent and immediate result of being filled with the Holy Spirit in the first century Christianity. But why did Luke need to mention that there were 12 men who were baptized? Why was it not? There were few. He did not say there were few. Was it to relate to the 12 apostles of the Lord Jesus? Because Paul was teaching about Christ? Or was it because Dr. Luke accompanied Apostle Paul in his travels, and Luke personally counted the men that were baptized and witnessed what happened. Giving that exact number would make it that Dr. Luke was not just talking about some other people talking about it, but he personally saw by his own eyes what happened. It's his testimony. So when the Holy Spirit of Christ is active in your life, in our life, we have deference. We have respectful submission. We have obedience to yield to the will of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our deference, our intentional submission, our obedience to God is not easy. We know that. It's not very easy because our human nature is very limited. We fall short in our understanding of the will of God. When we hear something that God tells us, that is not for me, because we just do not get. We cannot understand that God would bless us if we obey. We just do not. This is why we many of the Lord's instruction we disobey, because we just cannot get. Our human understanding is very limited to the understanding of God, to the will of God. And most often, what we do is reject Him, reject His instruction. So we should be always conscious and seek the help of the Holy Spirit in us, always. When you hear something, before you reject, ask, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Empower me. I don't understand this. That should be our response. No, I don't like it. Don't respond, I don't like it. It could be that the thing that you reject is the thing that God would use for you to be blessed. In practical ways, when God blessed you, He is giving you that practical proof that His love is in your life. So that one day you would testify, I testify, God blessed me. And this is what happened in my life when I believed in Him. And that you would use it. We may not understand everything. We cannot explain in words that joy and peace we have as we face uncertainty, even in this time of pandemic, as we follow the Lord completely. This is why the Bible says, peace that surpasses understanding. That peace is what we want in this time of pandemic or in many problems that we experience. Let's learn from the apostles, one of the apostles, Thomas Didymus, the twin. In John chapter 11, verse 6 to 8, it says, so when Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, let's go back to Judea. But Rabbi, they said, a short while ago, the Jews tried to stone you, and you are going back? Well, that was, in other version, Thomas that who told that. And in John chapter 11, verse 14 to 16, it says, so then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. In John chapter 11, verse 14, can you go back? And for your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. 16, then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, let us go, that we may die with him. I don't know if that was sarcastic or something, or just being trying to be brave or impress other disciples. But was Thomas really willing to die, or just he expressed his frustration? Because previously, the people in Jerusalem was trying to kill the Lord Jesus. Or did Thomas has stronger faith than those to the other disciple? Now, hold on to that idea. Was he frustrated, or did he have stronger faith? Hold on to that idea. Later, after Jesus resurrected, he appeared to the disciples, but Thomas was absent. So now you will know if he was frustrated or he has a stronger faith. In John chapter 20, verse 24 to 29, it says, now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hand and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand on his side, I will not believe. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the door was locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here. See my hand, reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Thomas said, my Lord and my God. Then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you believe. But blessed are those who have not seen me and yet have believed. And blessed you are blessed because you believe in Christ, yet you have not seen him. The name Thomas, translated in English, is an Aramaic name translated in Greek, Didymus. And in English, that Didymus is also translated the twin. True to his name, the twin, Thomas expressed faith in his by his willingness to die with the Lord Jesus, but he also showed his little faith, shaky faith, by requiring proof that Jesus is alive. Personally, have you actually believed in the Lord? Ask yourself, how much do you know about him as the way? Do you know the Lord Jesus as the way to heaven, to God the Father only? Or is he the way in everything that you want to do or know? Have you proven that Jesus can give you ways of solving problems? Personal problem, family problem, problem at work, problem in school, problem in the community, problem during election, problem during pandemic. How do you really know that Christ is leading or is in control of your life? In difficult situations, problem in parenting, studies, career, health, finance, or relationship, we know it's not easy, but there's joy and peace and hope for better things to come. And that hope that everything will turn out good for us, that hope comes from the Lord. We've got peace that surpasses understanding.